If you're familiar with that song, Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me, and it says after that, a double portion of thy spirit, Lord, let thy mantle fall on me. And it tells about the story of Elijah. He was the prophet, and Elisha was the prophet after him. And Elisha is the one that asked for the mantle of Elijah to fall on him. So, and he prayed for a double portion of the Spirit. And if you read through the scripture, Elijah worked a lot of miracles, but Elisha worked twice as many miracles. So God answered his prayer. That's interesting. Amen? That was a free little lesson. Amen? Doesn't cost anything. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22 today. I want to speak today about the two greatest commandments. And you're probably familiar with this portion of Scripture. There was a lawyer, and he comes to the Lord, and he said, what's the great commandment in the law? And we're going to read about that. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's pretty weighty. That's quite a statement in the Bible. And I think it's so important when you think about God, everything that has to do with God has to do with love. God is love, it tells us in 1 John. The Bible tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. It starts out, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And there are so many verses about this, but it's such a primary thing. We love him because he first loved us. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? This isn't a forced march. This is just something that God does for us when we accept Jesus as our Savior. And unto you which believe, he is precious. And the verses go on and on and on. But this is so important. And we will see that today. And we'll see the greatest picture of love, the greatest love story that's ever been told. I know it's Valentine's Day. And, you know, it's candy and it's this and it's that. And I love you and all the cards. It's a big day for the card companies. They sell a lot of cards today. And my wife and I save so much money. We just go to Myers and we stand and we read the cards. And I said, here, and she'll give me one. And we do that for about a half an hour. And then we go home. Haven't spent a penny. Amen? And yeah, okay. Amen. Do you remember back in school when you got those little, what do they call them? Hearts, candy hearts. And then there was always a Valentine exchange. And one or two poor kids in the room only got one or two, you know, but that was me. But, yeah, I feel bad about that, too. I've never gotten over it. But the Lord loves you. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing when you see the depth and the riches of that love. It's an undying love. There's no conditions to it. No conditions to the love of Jesus. Sometimes we put all kinds of conditions on people to love them, but God doesn't. He loves us. And we will look at that today because it's such a precious, precious truth, and it's so helpful. But let's pray and ask God for his blessing. Father, we want to say that we love you today. Our emotions don't always rise to that occasion, Lord, to give you the glory that you deserve, but the best we can, we say we love you today. And I pray you'd speak to us. I pray your word would help us, the Holy Spirit would help us today to love you more and to love each other and to love ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love yourself. God loves you. Amen. And so we love our neighbor. God's been good to us. We're good to our neighbors. But on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is built upon this. In Corinthians, it says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so everything about our faith is built on Christ. and Jesus Christ is love. Amen? And so that's the foundation that we build upon. It's a command, but it's not an offensive command. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it just automatically comes. There's probably a lot of things we do we don't want to do, but if we do them for somebody we love, amen? Because life can be tough, but we do that. We do those things for the Lord. I want to give you a number of scriptures. Jesus said this in John 13:34, and there are so many verses about this, but I just want to give you something to build a foundation for us. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So as God has loved us, we are to love one another. That means I am to love you, you are to love me. We're imperfect, aren't we? We cause irritation, we cause frustration. Don't we do that with the Lord? And he still loves us, amen? So as I have loved you, he will never forsake us. That's a wonderful thing. And this isn't all emotion and, how did I do? Did I do good on that one? Or the hairy eyeball, You know, people give the hairy eyeball. But I mean, there's all kinds of emotional things, but love is more than that. Love is more than that. You have Paul speaking in Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That's two verses, and I've mentioned one another, one to the other, four times. There's so many like this. I am to love you, you are to love me, we are to love others like God loves us. We have Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Well, this is how you fulfill everything. It's you love one another. 1 John 4:7. John wrote this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We have 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We have Peter speaking, 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And one more, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to the other. And all of those verses, it's one to the other. It's reciprocal. It's, we give and we receive. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Sometimes in life, we love a person, they don't love us back. Amen? And that's a difficult thing. But if you're both on the same page, it's a wonderful experience. We ought to love everybody here today. Amen? And we do. And you go to work and you say, well, I don't like my boss. You don't have to like him, but God tells you to love him. And you say, well, how in the world can you do that? Well, how does God love us? Amen? This ought to be a great message. Amen? Yeah. Don't click this yet. Just we'll see what God has. There's so many verses. There's romantic love. There's human love. But there's God's love. And that is a deep, deep, wonderful, wonderful love. For the love of God, people use that expression. How about for Christ's sake? People use that expression, but it is in the Bible. As unto the Lord. So there's submission, there's love, there's kindness, and it's as unto the Lord. We do it for Jesus' sake. Amen? Because he tells us to. Romantic love. Human love, God's love. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read this chapter. It's a short chapter. But this is love in work clothes. So if there's love, the love of God, these things are evident. And it's just like a quiz, or a survey. And so we read down through it, and God's going to tell us a bunch of things, and he's going to say, this is true love. In verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, charity is love in action, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. God is saying that. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I am nothing. It profits nothing if I'm doing it for the wrong reason. And so it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Quite a list, isn't it? Quite a list. Doth not behave itself, verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. The last verse says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so this is love in work clothes. This is what love produces. The essence of love, we read about that in Ephesians, we read about it in Galatians, where the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, this is everything. This is the essence. This is the Spirit of God working in us, and it produces these things. It has nothing to do with liking your circumstances. Our Savior went to the cross, amen? And he suffered on the cross for us, but he did that because he loved us. I've seen and I've experienced the Mary and Martha syndrome. Do you know what I'm talking about? Here's Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes, and Martha is just working, man. She is working. And Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And Martha starts to get real upset. Jesus, will you tell Mary, my sister? I think she did this too. You just went like that. Will you tell Mary, my sister, to help me do this? I mean, and Jesus said, Martha, Martha, why are you cumbered about with so many things? Mary hath chosen the good part. Now, we read that and we say, yeah, man, what's wrong with Martha? We've all been there. There's something to do, and somebody else isn't taking part, and we are, and we go, man, I wish I'd get a little help around here, you know? And God, please speak to those people, you know? But that's something that destroys our spirit. How about this? There's a verse in the Bible that says that we ought to be cheerful givers, and we give not grudgingly or out of necessity. Grudgingly. To give to the Lord, grudgingly. Isn't that something? Have you ever, and we don't pass the offering plate, it's up here, amen, and they're so full, they're overflowing all the time, we got to get bigger plates, amen? But, have you ever given grudgingly? Well, what do you mean by that? Have you ever said, well, boy, I could sure use this for, you know, okay, I'll give it. No, he loves a cheerful giver, right? Amen? So I think that's important. How about this one? He hideth hatred with lying lips. Now, where to speak the truth in love, where to use sharpness for edification, not for destruction, right? All of these good things. But to say something when your spirit is in bad shape towards that individual, you know, it's good not to share everything. Amen? But it's better if you don't have to worry about that inward spirit. And so love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Amen. That's what the scriptures say. Now, there's another side to this, and I think you've seen and experienced real spiritual love. I know many of you very well. And I've seen and heard about wonderful things, how you've loved people, served the Lord, and did it for God's glory. But I think that's a wonderful thing. But here's the reality. In Revelation chapter 2, sometimes we can leave our first love. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Love the Lord with all your heart and not the world. So, I mean, there are all of these verses, but you can do that. I'm up here today, and I'm preaching and I'm teaching. I don't do everything I preach and teach. I try to, and just ask my wife. Don't ask my wife. Yeah. don't ask her. But sometimes I'm real close to the Lord and my spirit is right, and sometimes it's a struggle. And because we're all flesh, we're all the same. And Paul said this, the Apostle Paul said this, lest when I have preached to others, I bring my body into captivity, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. I know what's right. I know what to teach. I'm going to teach what's right, no matter what the devil says to me or how he accuses me when I'm up here preaching. Well, you can't speak about that subject. I can because it's in here. Amen? And I know how I'm supposed to treat people. I know I'm supposed to love people. I know I'm supposed to be kind and think no evil and give the benefit of the doubt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how I show my love to the Lord. Amen? And I want the love and the joy and the peace that comes from that. That's so important. You cannot be spiritual and have bitterness in your heart, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You cannot be spiritual. Now, remember this. James and John were disciples of the Lord, but Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. They were faithful. They were following. Well, but I've given, look what I've given to the Lord. It profits nothing. Amen? Well, I'm going to give my body to be burned. If you don't have charity, there's nothing to it. Because the love is here. And then it's manifested here. That's how it works. But we do it because we love God. Well, how could I love my enemy? How could I love my neighbor? How could I love this, that, the other? You do it for the Lord. Amen? And there's a spiritual love that God puts in you that you can do that. But there's so many things. Covetousness, which is idolatry. That's a pretty strong statement. So how can we make spiritual decisions? The wrath of man, James chapter 1, worketh not the righteousness of God. That anger comes in and the wisdom goes out, and we do not make spiritual decisions. You can't even be led of the Spirit because he's being grieved and he's being quenched. Love is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it is a heartfelt thing. Amen? And so we do that for the Lord. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, not just in form. Colossians 1:8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We have all of those verses. Two of the greatest commandments, love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the love and law of the prophets. Now, how can you love God? Just a few simple statements about how to love God. The first one is, you have to be born again. You have to be a Christian. In John chapter 3, we are born of the Spirit. So it's the Spirit of God. We have in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Before you can love like God loves, God has to indwell you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what's going on in our hearts is God loving people. He loves people through you. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing, to be born again. We love him because he first loved us. Second thing, you must be taught of God. You can't, there's a lot of books out there. Well, this is how to love somebody. This is tough love, man. It's tough love. Somebody talks back to me, I'll smack him. That's tough love. I'll run him off the road. He won't do that to anybody anymore. You know, that's tough. That's not tough love. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. In John, the Bible says, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. Thy word is truth. So how does God teach us? Oh, I had a dream. And in my dream, God said, take this dessert that you've had in the fridge for 2 years. Take it and give it to your neighbor. Show him your love, you know. How about coming back to the Bible? How about 1 Corinthians 13? Amen? That's a real easy one. We come back there, and that love of God is evidenced through us because of how he's taught us. You have to go by what he teaches. The third thing is you have to be filled with the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God that shows that love. So the love and the joy and the peace. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin in verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The whole chapter is wonderful. But this, again, be taught of God to love one another. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, right? Not let your speech be always with salt, seasoned with grace. A little bit of salt. We speak, we use sharpness, we even reprove or rebuke. But we do it in love. Speak the truth in love. That is so important. God does that with us. Amen? He doesn't want to say things that destroy us. He wants to say things that help us on the right way and that edify us. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So as I have loved you, you love one another. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. But God has to do that. It's his Spirit at work in us. And that's where the motive is. That's where the essence of that is. But what does all that produce? Love begets love. Love is the most powerful force in the world. And God's love, my, it is so powerful. Hosea 11:4. I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The next verse says, this he said, he was describing which death he was die, and he was going to the cross. The Bible tells us in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, it's a lot of verses. It's a lot of truth. But here's what it is. Love is more powerful than anything else you will do. I will manipulate. I will criticize. I will force. I will hurt. I'll buy off. Whatever you want to put in the equation, it's not going to do the work that love will do. Love. What a powerful, powerful thing. When I got saved, I heard the message of the cross, and I went home and accepted Christ as my Savior. What a wonderful thing to know that God loved me. Amen? It changed my life completely. In Luke 6:32, if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Well, he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And if we just love the people that love us, what's the big deal? Amen? So he says, love your enemies. He says, love everybody. That's what God is saying here. And it's a whole different dynamic. It's a whole different idea. How can I please the Lord? Well, I'll give all this. How can I please the Lord? Well, I'll do this. I'll work. I'll just do all kinds of stuff. He says, love me. Love me. And love others. That's God. And as we do that, certainly there's work that we do, amen, because we do it for Jesus' sake. We make the sacrifice for Jesus' sake. We endure the persecution. We take the irritation. We live through the frustration because we love him and he loves those people, amen? Because if we only love those that love us, even the ones that love us aren't always lovable. I know it's Valentine's Day, but it's the reality, amen? So God says, this is it. This is the foundation. This, everything is on this. Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love by dying on the cross for us. As I have loved you, so love one another. Listen, this is like wonderful here. It's out there that it really gets tough. But if we can't even do it here, how in the world will they ever do it out there? Love one another, okay? We've got our little group. No, God so loved the world. Amen? It's no group. It's no, well, if you guys all do this, I'll love you. No, God loved the world. And sometimes we get our little group together. Yeah, I can love them. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, I love them, you know. And God says, no, love everybody. Love one another. And when I love you and you love me, and even through our imperfections, I mean, I've been here 5 years. I've not said a wrong word or done anything wrong in 5 years. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Candy. See, your name is on that, and it's going to go worldwide. You'll be famous. Oh, okay. Bye. The sweetest story ever told, God loves you. This is a song. Think of the songs we sing. Think of what we just sang. And we talked about the Lord Jesus. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Here's the song. The sweetest story ever told, God loves you. The brightest prospect to behold, God loves you. When your way is dark as night, he will be your guiding light. By his hand, he'll hold you tight. God loves you. When you're discouraged and depressed, God loves you. It goes on. Though you're now very far away, God loves you. Don't go on another day. God loves you. Though rebellious you have been, put away your life of sin. It's a picture of the prodigal son coming back home. All of the songs, all of the emotion, all of the teaching. The importance of loving God, it's in our text. They're the greatest commandments that lead to everything else. All the other commandments, all the other laws, all the other teaching rest on that. It has to be done because we love the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's what God says, and there's a bunch of verses like that in 1 John. It says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is what God teaches us to do. So amazing. The greatest love story ever told was the sacrifice of our Savior. And I just want to go through that briefly. They had a trial. It was a mock trial. It was a sham. But they accused him. And they beat him. They slapped him. They spit on him. They punched him. They ripped out his beard. They beat him. They scourged him. Where his back was bloodied and just layers of skin came off. I mean, it's all described in the scriptures. And then they put a robe on him and they mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. If you've ever seen that crown of thorns, the thorns would go right down into his brow. You know, I know it's graphic. But this is how we judge who loves us and who doesn't love us. What would you be willing to do for me? He did everything for us. He suffered for us. He gave his life for us. And then after a while, they took that robe off of maybe the blood, they say, was coagulating. And the robe, when they ripped it off, it began to bleed again. You can't imagine the pain that he went through. They put him on a cross and they nailed him to that cross, and they put nails in his hands and in his feet. And when they lifted the cross up and it fell down into the hole, all his joints, all his bones were out of joint. And it says that in the Psalms. And he's hanging there on the cross, being mocked, being spit upon, being cursed at. All the lies, all the slander. And as a man would be crucified and all the weight of his body would come down on his lungs so that he could not breathe. And so he would pull himself up a little so he could get a breath of air. And think about how much he loved the thief that was being crucified next to him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. For me, that's nothing to say right now. But if I had been on the cross and my strength was gone and I could barely breathe, that would be quite a sentence. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In John chapter 19 and verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. The soldiers would go along and they would break the legs of those that were crucified so that they could not push up anymore and get air. And Jesus, according to the Psalms again, not a bone of his was broken. That's what the scripture says. But they came along and he was dead already. They didn't have to break his legs. And the last thing they did, they put the spear in his side. And the Bible says, out came blood and water. In severe cases of cardiac stress, the heart can even burst, a process known as cardiac rupture. It's scientific. It is true. He died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart. Psalm 22, verse 14, prophetically, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Isaiah 53 and verse 4, surely he, Christ, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That chapter is so familiar, and I've read it so many times. But when you try and in your mind's eye, you try to imagine what it was like for him to bear the sins of the world on him. And he loved the world. God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world to die for the sins of the world. But he not only bore your sins and my sins, he bore the sins of the whole world. Can't imagine that. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If we go back before they ever took him, he's in the garden and he's praying. He knows why he came to this earth. He came to this earth to die for us. He knew that from the beginning. And he's in the garden and he's praying, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Yet, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Obviously, he did not enjoy what was going to be coming. Amen? But for the love of his people, for the love of God, he was willing to give himself. And so he's in the garden and he's praying. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Another scientific condition. All the anxiety, all the stress. We have not, what's it, Hebrews chapter 12, we have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But he did. It's describing the cross. He knew what was coming, so he prayed, he prayed, he prayed. And God said, no, this is what must be done. Of course, he knew that. But he's all man and he's all God. It's such a mystery to us. But he gave himself. From sweating great drops of blood to dying of a broken heart, nobody took his life. He gave his life. There are dozens and dozens of verses. I've used them before, but he gave himself for my sins. John 10:18, Jesus said, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Nobody's taking my life. I'm laying it down. Why are you laying it down, Jesus? This commandment I have received of my Father. God so loved the world. I came into the world to save sinners. Amen? And so nobody took his life. He gave his life for our sin because he loved the Father. And so God says, take up your cross and follow me. Ah, that's a hard thing to do. Boy, to make this sacrifice, to put up with this, to endure that person, to fill in the blank. God says, show my love. Show my love. We don't have to enjoy this. I mean, he did, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Nobody would enjoy that cross. For Christians to come down to this, where I'm only going to do when I get something in return, or I'm only going to do what I enjoy, or I'm going to feed my flesh because that's, boy, that's it. We don't know what the love of God is, or we're certainly not living it. Amen? You can get even, you can get bitter, you can get covetous, you can do all of those things, but it quenches the spirit, it grieves the spirit, and the only way to truly show the love of God and live in the love of God, keep yourselves in the love of God, the Bible says, is to walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, love in the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave himself for us. And this is what he says. And it's difficult. This is difficult. But it's so rewarding because that's where love, joy, and peace comes from. It's a wonderful thing. It's not the peace that the world gives. And Peter tells us about that. It's the peace that only comes from God. My son, Proverbs 23:26, give me thine heart, because out of the heart flow the issues of life. And out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, etc., etc., etc. It's all in the heart. So we love one another. When you talk about the cross, and we've just kind of skimmed it, and I there's no way to do it justice. But it has to be you, a Bible, and God, where you think about that. How could that not move us, you know? We read in Matthew chapter 22 about what Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment. But if you went back to chapter 21, he tells the story. There's a parable there about a certain man owned a vineyard. And he sent one of his servants to the vineyard, and they killed some, and they beat others, and they turned them away. They're like the prophets coming to the nation of Israel. And then he says, last of all, I'll send my son, for they'll surely reverence my son. And when Jesus came, they crucified him. Yet in all that, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is such a privilege today to know salvation. I mean, why me? Why you? You know? We're so undeserving, yet God came and he opened our hearts and we were born again of the Spirit. Nobody's born a Christian. You don't naturally just kind of become a Christian. There's a day when you realize you're a sinner, that Jesus is the Savior, and you ask him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask him to save me because I'm a sinner. At that instant, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, because we are born again of the Spirit. Then we start walking in the Spirit. We grow in the Spirit. Amen? And that love that God gave us is now being shared with others. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one towards the other. If you only love them that love you, then there's nothing to that. Amen? But to love him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, there's a group of believers there, and they really serve the Lord, and it talks about some of the sacrifices that they made. But the point is this, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. How did they do that? Because before that, the essence of love was in their heart. My son, give me thine heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you got saved, it wasn't the prayer, it wasn't what you did, it was the heart. Your heart received Christ. That changed your life. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to obey the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your heart. You say, well, who can be perfect and love? He knows that. Love him with all that you can. Amen? Love him with all that you can. Well, I love him more than you love him. You'll never know that. Amen? It's such a personal, private thing. But to love him, is a wonderful thing. And it will be a blessing to you, and it will be a blessing to everybody around you, because love begets love. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Your love is not in question, and that love just draws us more and more to you. I pray that we would be examples of that love. Forgive us when we aren't. Give us grace and strength, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us help that we might love what you love. Bless us now, and God, I pray we'd really realize how much you love us, no matter who we are or what we are. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.